بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the seven major sins. He said, At-tahdhir min ash-shirk wa anwa' al-ma'asi, a warning against ash-shirk and various types of sins. He said, Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah, wa minha sab' al-mubiqat, that from the sins or the seven major sins, the meaning of as-sab' al-mubiqat ay al-muhlikat, the seven major destructive sins. The first of them, ash-shirku billah. So the first destructive major sin is ash-shirk. And what is the definition of shirk? Who knows the definition of shirk in Arabic? The definition of shirk in Arabic. Who knows? No.
صرف العبادة
لغير الله. صرف العبادة لغير الله. Or you can say ضد التوحيد, the opposite of توحيد. So if you know what توحيد is, إفراد الله بالعبادة, then the opposite of توحيد, it is الشرك. And also, secondly, السحر. And the سحر, it is all types of magic, which involves الكفر. So سحر is also كفر. And sihr, it's a comprehensive term. It includes those people who tie knots and then they read words upon these knots. It includes people who recite incantations, meaning verses and words which they say to attract the jinn and the shayateen. It includes potions that somebody might make and then recite certain things on them. All of this is included in a sihr. And it is also al-kufr. And the punishment for al-kufr, according to the ijma' of the sahaba, is for a person to be killed with their sword because of the evil which is involved in it. And then after this, وَقَتْلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, taking the life which Allah has made sacred without a right. So any life, Muslim or non-Muslim, if a person takes it and violates it, and this life Allah has made sacred, the life of every human being, then this is from the major sins. He said, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, without a right, meaning the right of qisas, the death penalty for the Islamic ruler to prescribe this. Or for example, in al-jihad fi sabilillah, here there is a right. So if it was a murderer and the ruler of the country established the penalty upon him, now he's taken the life with a right. Or if it was zina, for example, and this is the responsibility of the Muslim ruler, not every individual. So his life is taken according to the Islamic punishment, this is bilhaq. Or for example, the highway robber, the bandits, qutta' al-turuq, the bandits, those who make fasad upon the earth, if the Islamic ruler makes the punishment upon him with the Islamic judge, then this is bilhaq. Al-jihad fi sabilillah, if it is done with the right conditions, and according to the permission of the Islamic ruler, then it is bilhaq. Then it is taking with a right. Apart from this, then it is without a right. He said, "Wa aklu mal al-yatim," and also consuming the wealth of the yatim. And what is the definition of a yatim? According to fiqh, who is the yatim? So he's under the age of puberty. And the second thing? No. So it's the one who is under the age of puberty and his father's passed away. This is the yatim. You're talking about the signs of the indicators of puberty, Ahsan. But the child who is under the age of puberty and the father passes away, he is called yatim. So therefore, if he is over the age of puberty, we don't call him yatim anymore. Because now he is at an age whereby he can look after his own affairs. So eating, or consuming the wealth of the yatim, the one who has nobody to look after him, this is from the major sins. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those people who take the wealth of the yatim out of oppression, then they're only placing a fire in their bellies. This ayah, Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا. Those people who take from the wealth of the yatim out of oppression. This ayah shows that therefore it is permitted for a person to take the wealth of the orphan if it is out of ihsan and not dhulm. I.e. you have the guardian of the orphan. He's looking after his wealth. He is responsible for his wealth. So he takes from the wealth of the orphan in order to pay for his education, for example, or to pay for his cultivation and his upbringing. In this situation, it is incorrect. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Do not come close to the wealth of an orphan except in goodness. So this means that the wealth of the orphan, it can be taken and it can be spent, but if it is done in goodness. He said, وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى. He said, وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى. And أَكْلُ الرِّبَى is dealing in interest. And a riba occurs in two ways, either in loans. So you say, for example, I loan you £1,000, but you give me £1,500 back. This is riba. And secondly, can also occur in different types of business. So eating and consuming riba is from the major sins. He said, وَتَوَلِّي يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ. And also turning away on the day of the battlefield. Meaning when the two armies have met and they are about to fight each other, then if some of the Muslims give their back and turn away, this is from the major sins. Why? Because it will lead to the destruction of the other Muslims. If a group of the army, a part of the army, if they turn away and they retreat without permission, then it will lead to the destruction of the Muslims. And the only exception in this is if it is a strategy. If it is a strategy and part of the strategy and the warfare, then it is permitted. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. To make qadf. And qadf is to make a false accusation of fahisha against a believing innocent person. And here it is mentioned, mu'minat, the women. And the one who makes a false accusation of indecency, of fahisha against another Muslim, and he does not bring the evidences, then in the Islamic courts they would be whipped 80 times. They are to be whipped 80 times. Wallahu a'lam. Now, if my memory serves me correct, I think it's 80 times. So these were the seven major destructive sins. From the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ijtanibu sab' al-mubiqat. Avoid the seven destructive sins. Ash-shirku billah, wa-sihr, wa-qatlu nafs allati harram allahu illa bil-haq, wa-aklu riba, wa-aklu mali al-yateem, wa-tawalli yawm al-zahf, wa-qadhf al-muhsanat al-mu'minat al-ghafilat. Then there are other sins which a person may do, and they may not be from these seven destructive sins, but they are still from the major sins that we have to avoid. So for example, the author, he mentions, وَمِنْهَا عُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. From amongst the major sins is a person disobeying his parents. And the disobedience to parents, or we say Islam, it emphasizes the rights of the parents more than any other religion. And when I say parents, parents whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. So that even the non-Muslim, mushrik, kafir parents, they have a great right in our religion of Al-Islam. And in the Quran, Allah mentions the right of the parents along with his own rights, without any separation between them. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed that you do not worship anybody else besides him. Straight away, without any separation, he mentioned وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and show goodness to your parents. The ulama, they mention, why is it Allah in the Quran, in a number of ayat, he joins between his right and the right of the parents, without any separation between them, in the same ayah, with waw al-atf, not even fa or thumma, with waw. Naam, fa means and then after, waw means and, along with. And from the explanation which is given is that just as the rights of Allah upon you to worship him is constant, all the time. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor or happy or sad or angry or pleased. It doesn't matter whether you're ill or healthy. You have to always worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the same with the rights of the parents. Regardless of your situation in terms of wealth or health or free time, or whether you're sad or they've angered you with something, but just as you worship Allah in every situation, then you have to show righteousness to your parents in every single situation. And the only exception is if they ask you to disobey Allah. Then in this situation, you do not obey them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he speaks about the parents. He said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِي عِلْمٍ. That if جَاهَدَاكَ, if they force you, if they compel you to perform shirk, meaning your parents, they are telling you to go bow in front of these idols. They are ordering you to worship Isa alayhi salam. This is shirk, this level of shirk. Then Allah said, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Then do not obey them. From the lata'if, which the ulama mention, is consider and contemplate the wording of this ayah. In this ayah, Allah said, if they force you to perform shirk with me, that which you have no knowledge of, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them. Allah did not say in this ayah, فَعُقْهُمَا, disobey them. So even in the wording, and that is in Surah Luqman in two different places, even in the wording of this ayah, Allah doesn't say disobey them, perform uquq. He said do not obey them. So even in the wording which is used in forbidding us from obeying our parents when they order us to do shirk, then even in the wording, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used gentleness. He uses gentle words. He could have said, disobey them, disregard them. And the meaning is the same. But he said, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, that in this issue, do not obey them. So in this ayah, which parents is he talking about? Mushrikun, kuffar. And then Allah said, straight after, he said, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, that these parents who are compelling you and forcing you to do shirk, then still live with them in this dunya in a good, pleasurable, amicable way. And these are parents who are mushrikun, forcing you to do a shirk. So you do not obey them in that command. Apart from this, you still have to live with them in a good way. If this ayah was revealed regarding the kuffar and the mushrikun who force you to do shirk, then how about the majority of our parents, wallahu a'lam, who are people of taqwa, people of iman, people of righteousness? They are encouraging you to do acts of goodness. Then how much more is they right? Allah revealed this ayah regarding the mushrikun, and not only the mushrikun who force you to do a shirk. Then how about our parents of salah wa taqwa wal bir, and we're showing them disobedience, we're speaking over their voices? From the Salaf are those that if they raise their voice amongst the, upon or over the voice of their parents, they would pray two rak'at nafal. Naam. As a kafara for the sin which they have done. He said, wa qati'atu rahim. And also from the sins is to break off the ties of kinship. And again, in Islam, this is something which has been emphasized a lot. So it isn't allowed for a person to break off the ties of kinship over matters of the dunya, over money, over something in the family, over a marriage, or something like this. And in reality, the ahadith and the ayat which come regarding keeping the ties of kinship, when we say kinship, i.e. your grandparents, your uncles, your aunties, your relatives, what we understand by being relatives. The ahadith and the ayat which come regarding this are very severe. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yadkhulul jannah qati'ur rahim." That the one who breaks the ties of kinship does not enter into Jannah. Full stop. Does not enter into Jannah. In other ahadith, in one of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna 'amala bani Adam yu'rad yawm al-khamis laylatul jum'ah." He said, "The actions of the people are shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Thursday. On the night before Friday, Thursday, the actions are shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though He already knows our actions, but the angels take the actions and show them to Allah." And then the Prophet said, "Wala yuqbal 'amalu qati'ir rahim." And as for the actions, meaning the good deeds of the one who breaks the ties of kinship, his actions are not accepted by Allah. So these ayat and these ahadith, how do we deal with them? Because we know Allah does not forgive shirk. We know everything else besides shirk, Allah forgives. Yet in these ahadith and these ayat, Allah is saying, qati'ur rahim does not enter into Jannah. He is saying, the actions of a person who breaks the ties of kinship, they are not accepted by Allah. The Salaf, amongst them Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, they used to say that these ayat, these are nususul wa'id. These are text, evidence, these are ayat and ahadith which contain a threat and a punishment. فَمُرُّهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ. So pass by them as they have come. Meaning don't try to interpret them. Yes, we know Sahibul Kabira, the one who commits the major sin, we know Allah can forgive him. We know anything besides shirk, Allah can forgive from His mercy. But these ayat, then come, go past them as they have come. Accept them. The Prophet said, لَا يَدْخُلْ جَنَّ قَاتِ الرَّحِمْ. Take it as it is. Because the severity has been mentioned in order to emphasize how severe and how haram this action is. If somebody comes to you now, for example, and this in da'wah is very important, this is a manhaj in da'wah. If somebody comes to you and says to you, you know, what is the punishment, for example, for insulting a person's lineage? You say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ثِنْتَانِ هُمَا بِالنَّاسِ كُفْرٌ. Two actions are kufr amongst the people. He said, النِّيَاحَ وَالطَّعْنُ فِي النَّسَبِ. Wailing over the dead and insulting a person's lineage. And then you say to the person, but it isn't kufr akbar, this is only kufr asghar. Straight away, what's that done to the person? It's lessened the effect of the sin. Oh, okay, it's only kufr asghar, it's not kufr akbar, no problem. Or when it comes to shirk, somebody says to you, what's the ruling for saying, masha'Allah wa shi'ta? Or making halaf, making an oath besides Allah. You say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man halafa bighayri Allahi faqad ashraka aw kafar. Whoever takes an oath besides the name of Allah, then he has committed shirk or kufr. We say, but it is a major kufr, only minor kufr. Look, only minor kufr, this wording, only minor kufr. Or you see a person and he's cutting the ties of kinship, you say to him, لا يدخل الجنة قاتل رحم. Nobody enters into Jannah except if a person breaks the ties of kinship, he does not enter into the Jannah. But then you say, but then there are other ayat which are an exception to this. You've lessened the effect and the severity of this sin from this person. So therefore you don't do this. These type of ayat, when you're giving da'wah to the people, you pass by them as they come, in order to show them the severity of this issue. So you say, if the person says, what does this mean? Say, this is what the Prophet said. لا يدخل الجنة قاتل رحم. اتق الله. This is what the Prophet said. Yes, when it comes to طلب العلم, when we're understanding principles and the severity of shirk against the other sins, then we go into detail. Then we say there's shirkun asghar, shirkun akbar, kufran asghar, kufran akbar, kufr akbar, mukhrij min al-milla, kufran asghar, la yakhruj min al-milla, and so on and so forth. And then after this, also from the major sins, shahadatu zur. And shahadatu zur is to give a false testimony or to give a false witness. So for example, you saw somebody committing a crime, and then you're requested to give a witness statement and you don't give it. You say, oh, I didn't see it, I wasn't there, or it was somebody else who did it. This is Shahadat Az-Zur. And again, Shahadat Az-Zur, many ayat in the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned. Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. He spoke about the mu'minun, the people of iman, or those people who do not give a false witness statement. He said, فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. He said, stay away from the impurity of the idols and stay away from giving the false witness statement. And one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting amongst his companions. He said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Should I not tell you of the worst of the major sins? Not just the kabair, أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ, the worst of the major sins. He said, الْإِشْرَاكُ بِاللَّهِ, committing shirk with Allah. عُقُوقَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, disobedience to the parents. وَقَوْلَ الزُّورِ, and say lying. And then he said, وَالشَّهَادَةُ الزُّورِ, and also bearing a false testimony. فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْنَا لَيْتَهُ سَكَتْ. Then the companion said, he kept repeating it, شَهَادَةُ الزُّور, شَهَادَةُ الزُّور, شَهَادَةُ الزُّور, until we wished he would stop saying this, because of how severe the sin is, and the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So the one who gives the شَهَادَةُ الزُّور, the false witness statement, then in reality he has committed a number of sins, a number of harms. The first of them is lying. So the first sin which he has committed when he did Shahadat Az-Zur is that he has lied. The second is he has oppressed the one against whom he has given the false statement or the false witness, the testimony. Because he has bore a false testimony against him, this is now dhulm. First of them was kadhib, the second sin is al-dhulm. The third of them is that the one who he lied for, the one who he bore witness for, he has also oppressed him. Why? Because he has given him the right of another person. So that person was deserving of the wealth. He lied for the person. Now that person is eating the wealth which is haram, because this is the right of another person. So this is the third sin. The fourth sin, in when a person gives Shahadat Az-Zur, is that that which Allah has made sacred, he has violated. So Allah has made sacred upon us the lives of other people, and the blood of other people, and the wealth of other people, and the honor of other people. So when a person gives this false statement, this false testimony, he's either going to violate his blood, or he's going to violate his wealth, or he's going to violate his honor. So all of these four sins, all of them are included in Shahadat Az-Zur. And Shahadat Az-Zur, it might be just a single statement which a person gives. Or he saw the crime, says, I didn't see the crime. As Muslims, we're not allowed to do this. Whether it is for us or against us, whether it is for the Muslims or for the kuffar. Then he said, وَإِذَاءُ الْجَارِ, and also annoying, irritating, and harming the neighbor. And how many hadith and how many texts have we studied previously about the rights of the neighbor? That at the least, we don't irritate them. This is the minimum. So when we speak, we don't speak too loud. When we park our car, we're careful in terms of what we're parking. If rubbish is thrown, we're careful where it's being thrown. We don't place obstacles in front of them. Also sensitivity. So if, for example, somebody from the next door neighbor has passed away, then we show sensitivity. If they're going through a difficult time, we show them sensitivity. We don't laugh, we don't joke, we don't let them hear this from us. So all of this comes under إِذَاءُ الْجَارِ, irritating, annoying, and harming the neighbor. وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took three oaths. He said, wallahi, he does not believe. Well, by Allah, he does not have iman. Well, by Allah, he does not have iman. The people said, man ya Rasulullah, who is this regarding? He said, alladhi la ya'mun jaruhu bawa'iqahu. the one whose neighbor does not feel safe from his harm and his irritation. And many ahadith like this. Also, وَظُلْمُ النَّاسِ, oppressing other people. And notice the author said ظُلْمُ النَّاسِ. He didn't say ظُلْمُ الْمُسْلِمِ or ظُلْمُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He said ظُلْمُ النَّاسِ, oppressing people. In fact, if he had said ظُلْمُ الْخَلْقِ, it would have been even more correct. All of creation, animals, humans, jinns, men, women, the environment, ظُلْم, causing corruption and oppression and spoilage. All of this is from the major sins. And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تُفْسِدُ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not corrupt the earth after it has been rectified. Every type of corruption. Allah said in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That oppression is darkness on يوم القيامة. So, and this oppression, this ظُلْم, it can sometimes come by a word, it can come by the hand, it can even come by an expression of the face. So al-lams wal-hams. And al-lams and hams, these are expressions which a person makes. Like for example, if you saw somebody and you winked regarding him to make people laugh at him. This is from al-lams wal-hams. Naam. And this is also from al-dhulm. So it doesn't just have to be a statement or an action. Even the way you look at somebody, or you wink at somebody, or you make a particular signal to belittle somebody like this, all of this comes under al-dhulm. And all of this is haram. And the dhulm of the people, he said, fi dima wal amwal wal a'rad, either in their blood, meaning physical dhulm, wal amwal, or taking from their wealth, wal a'rad, and also in their honor. And perhaps the taking of the honor is what most people fall into. The majority of us, we know that we're not going to kill somebody or fight somebody. We know we're going to, inshallah, not take from their wealth. But when it comes to talking about the honor of the people, then this is dangerous. Why? And especially upon the tulab al-ilm. Because shaitan comes to a righteous person, a person of salah, a person of taqwa, a person of da'wah, and he beautifies for him speaking about the honor of the other people. So we know, for example, we have studied that yes, in certain conditions, we speak about Ahlul Bid'ah. And there are guidelines to this, there are conditions to this, but we are permitted to speak about Ahlul Bid'ah. We know also that we are allowed to backbite Ahlul Ma'asiyah, the people of sinning and disobedience, within certain conditions, within certain guidelines, this can be done. We know also regarding the science of al-jarh wa ta'deel. Al-jarh is criticizing, al-ta'deel is praising. And this is a noble science from al-Islam, from the science of al-hadith. But shaitan sometimes comes to a person and beautifies this to a person. So he may begin by speaking about the mubtadi' because of his bid'ah, or the asi because of his ma'asiyah, but then slowly it becomes personal. And then person's sins are mentioned. And then mocking is done. So here is where shaitan enters into a person. And a person wants more detail into this, read Talbis al-Iblis by Ibn Jawzi. In this book, Ibn Jawzi, he speaks about the deception of Iblis. Talbis Iblis, the deceptions of Iblis. And he speaks about the deceptions of Iblis upon different groups of people. So he mentions, for example, the talbis of the Iblis upon the Rawafid and upon the Khawarij and all of these sects. Then he also mentions the talbis of Iblis upon the Muhaddithin, upon the people of Hadith, the scholars of Hadith, and the people of Tasawwuf. And he mentions different types of people. So sometimes, maybe a person who has a correct intention, he begins by speaking about the Mubtadi', speaking about Jarh wa Ta'deel, and then slowly shaitan beautifies this for him, and then he takes him and it becomes personal. And so this is what we have to be careful about. He said, وَشَرْبُ الْمُسَكِّرِ, and also taking any type of intoxicant, whether it is alcohol or any other type of intoxicant. And if the drinking or the taking of intoxicant is haram and from the major sins, then how about selling and distributing and allowing and tacitly approving it in our community. This is even greater sin. He said, and also gambling. Al-Maisir, gambling, and other games like this. All of this is from the major sins. Wal-ghiba wal-namima. And backbiting and slandering. The difference between al-ghiba wal-namima is al-ghiba is dhikruka akhaka fima yakra. Is you mentioning regarding your brother something which he does not like. So what you mention about him is the truth. But he doesn't like for you to mention this. And therefore this is al-ghiba. So for example, if one amongst us doesn't like a particular nickname, and yet you give him that nickname, then this enters into ghiba, if it's true about him. Or for example, he has a particular description. He's short, he's very tall, he's big, he's thin, or anything like this. Or for example, his business isn't doing well, he failed an exam. He doesn't want you to mention this to other people. And you tell the people, oh, do you know he failed his exam? You know his son is like this and this, and he doesn't want this. So if you say to him, this is ghiba, he says, but this is the truth, I'm not lying about him. This is ghiba. Speaking the truth about him in something which he does not like, this is ghiba. And as for an-namima, then it is spreading lies about the people in order to break the relationships between the people. So for example, you go to two close friends, and you say, look, do you know what he said about you the other day? And maybe you just take it out of context. And then you go to the other person, you know when I said this to him, he said this regarding you, and you exaggerate slightly. This is an-namima. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, la yadkhulul jannata an-nammam. That the one who carries tales between the people to break their relationships, to cause animosity between the people, he does not enter into Jannah. And also this namima and this ghiba, don't think that this is only spoken. Text messages, WhatsApp messages, the internet, Twitter, Facebook, which we see so much of it nowadays, all of in the name of Islam or in the name of refuting the innovator, and it is namima and al-ghiba. And unless it is done with the correct right. And then he said, and other types of sins, like al-bid'ah, for example. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ آوَى مُحْدِثًا. May Allah curse a person who gives refuge to an innovator. So it isn't allowed for us to give refuge to an innovator when he's spreading his innovations. And enters into this is our masajid. So our masajid, as for who can pray here, every Muslim is allowed to pray in our masjid. In fact, even a kafir, if he wants to come and sit and listen and ask and attend and watch, then we invite him and we are good towards him. And any Muslim, no problem, Rafidi, Khariji, Qadari, they come, they pray, they listen, we give them da'wah. But as for us giving them refuge, meaning we allow them to take our stage and to spread their filth and spread their innovations, then this is not allowed. So we have to differentiate between these two things. We welcome them to our masjid in order for us to give them da'wah. And at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some of the non-Muslims, they would come to the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi would teach them. And the delegations, the wufud, would come to him. And he would give them da'wah and they would return back Muslims. But as for allowing the people of bid'ah and the people of ma'asiyah to take our stage and to spread their innovations amongst the people, then this is not allowed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa rad." Whoever innovates something into our religion which is not from it, then it is rejected. And of course there are many other sins, major sins and minor sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Allahumma ighfir lana ma qaddamna wa ma akharna wa ma a'lanna wa ma asrarna wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minna. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.